much. This special meeting is called to order. So first thing, we will stand, please, and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we have a quorum. And General Manager Gruber, did you want to talk about our order on the agenda?
Yes, ma'am. As you know, staff has been preparing for multiple board meetings. We have three this week alone, and no less than eight between now and November 19th. And we planned on putting the public comment after the regular business. And as long as the public comment is part of the process before the board decides on the person they want for their next board member, I would think that would be okay, basically talking with district council just a minute ago. So we inadvertently put in so many agendas together, let this one slip by, and I take responsibility for it. So whatever the board's pleasure is, but that's how we originally planned on having the agenda. Have the regular business meeting first would be the interview of candidates. And then before you appoint, you really need to, if that's the way you want to go, you really need to have public comment at that point in time. And it really is up to the presiding officer in the order in which you would like to do it.
Well, thank you. That seems to be a more logical order. First, we will have our interviews, then we'll hear from public comment. We have one request so far, and then we'll go to board discussion and make a decision. We've got some happy people here at the table today. And so I would like to welcome you here, and this is what we're going to do. As we get started, we want to have, you know, a balanced, fair way for each of our candidates to introduce themselves, to respond. And so we are going to have you start. I'll just kind of talk about it first, and then if we need to do a little walkthrough on it, we certainly can. But you're each going to draw a number, and Monique, have we done that yet? Okay, well, let me explain it first then. We won't do it quite yet. Hold up, Vanna. okay, what we will do is we want you to be comfortable, want you to just relax, feel that you're here to give us your best thinking and your responses. There's no rush. But we want it to also be balanced and fair. So what we're going to start with, and the board is doing this in their own same order as you are too for the board, is we'll have you draw a number, and it's not for a prize though, but we'll have you draw a number, and the person with the lowest number is going to begin, and with the first question. And then we'll go from there to that person's, the next person then will be the person on their right or toward the windows, until we've had all five candidates be able to answer the question. On the next question, we'll just say, for example, that we'll say that Penny was the first one. And so then Penny would have started, and then we would have Jeffrey answering, and then we would have you, sir, answering, and you, and around, then back to this Jeff. On the second question, we would then start with the person who's now sitting to her right, so that we don't have some people who are never first, because that would be pretty random, or always first, and that way then you each have your turn. So we're ready now, Monique, with the numbers. But you have to draw a five first, yeah. Then we don't draw again. And the lucky lowest number is, goes to? Well, somebody has to have number one. This would be the lowest number. Nobody has one? Okay, if we don't have a one, Monique, where's one?
There you go, one.
Okay, all right, then you will be starting, and then I'll remind you of the order, it's fine. But first, we want to start then with just getting acquainted. And so we have microphones. Do we have one or two microphones today?
Looks
one?
Like,
okay, so what will happen then
looks
is...
Looks like one. Okay.
What we'll do is we'll pass a microphone too so that everyone can hear you. And so I think then we are ready to go with just the kind of a beginning, just having you introduce yourself, and then I'm going to have a prompt or a question for you to respond to. Do we have any questions before we begin? Okay, everybody's, yes, sir.
In this introduction, can we read from prepared remarks here? It might take about 30, 40 seconds.
Can we what?
Read from prepared remarks.
Oh, absolutely, positively, yes. Feel comfortable. We want you, the five of you, first of all, I have to before we start, tell you how much we appreciate your being here today, your willingness to want to serve the community in this way is a very admirable thing. And so anything that makes you comfortable, that's what we want. So thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Yes, thank you. And then we are going to have the timer is sitting there in front of Jeff, and hopefully you can all see it. It's not the timer, it's buttons. And we will ask for all responses to be given within 3 minutes. And then we have just a gentle little buzzer at the end that just about knocks you out of your seat when it buzzes, because actually it's just the way it came to us. But it's anyway, you'll hear the buzzer. You won't miss it. So each of your responses would be for 3 minutes, okay? Any questions before, other questions before we begin?
So at this point, we're just basically telling you a little bit about ourselves personally, who we are, and how we.
Well, I'm gonna read the prompt to you.
Got
yeah.
It. All right, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm a little right. Nervous going first.
So let me read it to you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Okay, so please tell us briefly about yourself and your background, and describe how you view the role of the CSD director. And we will start then with Jeff.
Thank you, just writing that now.
Jeff Walters.
Thank you. My name is, of course, Jeff Walters, and I've been very interested in the town itself. My family has actually been here since 1980, so we have quite a history in the town. I'm very interested in, of course, the survivability and the longevity of the town itself, considering its water woes, its condition, and I think just the magic of the fact that it is a rare community in and of itself. It has a rare and unique forest, one of only five left in the world, something which I'm really very concerned about, its longevity and its continuing on, considering our current climate woes, the drought, and its history of drought as well, but now being even complicated further by more drought as well. I am also kind of a technology buff, and I think there's a lot of ways we can address that situation as well, and I think there is technologies available that we could probably more better implement, and that's partly the reason why I'm interested in seeking the board itself. As far as me personally, we only just moved up here, me and my wife, about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. We've since become very active in the Peter Plough Playhouse, which is also, I think, a historic part of the town, and I'd like to do more with that as well. And I'm very interested in the local history of the town itself. And just being a resident, I also live just above Nitwit Ridge, another part of the town which I consider interesting historically. And there's just a very innumerable amount of things in this community that I'd like to see saved and continued, and that's my reason for really seeking the board at this point. So I'm hoping that's helpful, and I'll defer my time to the next person.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, then, we'll have Melvin Doran. Would you like me to read the prompt for you? You have your statement, though.
I do. I'm going to read from a prepared statement.
All right.
Okay. My name is Melvin Doran. My wife, Patricia, and myself moved to Cambria full-time last year after I retired from public service. We purchased our house in 2010. I'm applying for the position because I'm concerned about Cambria as a citizen of the town that I live in. I view this position on the board of directors as a position of public trust. That means the highest integrity, honesty, transparency, and commitment to acting in the best interests of the entire community, not just special interests. The trust of the public in their government is essential to the proper functioning of effective government and democracy. Otherwise, we have tyranny and corruption. Last year, I retired from my career in public service after serving the United States and its citizens as a federal law enforcement officer for four separate agencies: United States National Park Service as a law enforcement ranger, the Food and Drug Administration as a consumer safety officer or investigator, the U.S. Department of Justice as an immigration officer, and the Department of Homeland Security as a Customs and Border Protection Supervisory Officer at San Francisco International Airport, where I served for the past 12 years. All of these positions were classified as positions of public trust, and I was sworn to uphold our Constitution and our national values as the foundation of my office. I've also lived and worked in over 20 different countries around the world, and I view the environment in Cambria as unique in the world. After many years of searching for a comparable residence, I chose to settle in Cambria, despite the fact that it is not the most affordable venue for a person on a fixed income. Because of its unique coastal weather, population density, and nature, I believe Cambria needs special status as a national treasure, if not maybe even a World Heritage Site. We are truly fortunate to be able to claim the special place on the Central California coast as our home, and we need to be good stewards of this community to preserve it for our posterity. Lastly, and most importantly, I am my own person. I'm beholden to no one. I make decisions that I consider fair and informed and competent. As a federal law enforcement officer, I put my life on the line every day to protect the environment, food supply, and national security of this country. I did it in a way that earned the trust of the people in their government, and I can function in no other way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next, Greg Sanders.
Yes, thank you, Madam President, members of the board. Before I begin, let me say that I believe we all owe a debt of gratitude to Merle Clift, who served the district well and made a lasting contribution to this community through his work as a board member, past president of the Lions Club, and other community service endeavors. And I think we all certainly wish Merle and his wife well as they begin the next chapter of their lives. My wife and I have lived in Cambria since 1988. We raised our youngest son here. I'm the past president of the Cambria Rotary Club, past commander of American Legion Post 432, a current board member of both organizations, and I'm a past member of the board of directors of the Cambria Community Services District, having served two terms, and during those two terms, 3 years as president, 3 years as vice president. I'm an attorney. I've been a member of the bar for 38 years. I specialize in environmental land use and water law. And I would only add that I believe my education and experience would be an asset to the district, particularly at this critical juncture as the permanent coastal development permit for the alternative water source project is pursued. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for handing off the baton. Okay, and next we have Jeff Hellman.
Here I am again a year later, did run for office last year. What could I bring to the board? You know, why would the board want to see me on the board? I think I can bring some business expertise and some financial acumen to help oversee what's going on, understand the accounting systems. Experience is really important. I mean, coming to the board, and people want to be on the board, and, you know, they come up here and have different qualifications and different, you know, views of what's going on. I think it's really important for somebody to have experience in business, having employees, understanding personnel issues. Yeah, I've followed the board for almost the whole 10 years I've lived here, been involved in various things within the community, and have, I think, a pretty good understanding of what's going on with the board. The nuts and bolts are really important. I think people on the board should have some mechanical acumen. They should have some idea of how projects are done and everything like that. Right now, the big issue for town is obviously a water supply. That's like the issue. I support the water supply. I think the emergency water supply project has to go online. It has to work. This town has to know that it's going to have water in the future. I do believe climate change is real, and we'd better do it. The other thing that I'd like to help out on that I think is really critical is this, this district has to stay solvent. It's got a lot of financial problems. If this board goes insolvent, we're all cooked. We're all done. It could really impact the value of our property and all of that. So the other thing, besides getting the plant up, running, and operating, would be to have financial solvency with somewhat of a cushion. This is critical. Putting the whole package together, understanding how projects are made, they're implemented, they're executed, understanding financial arrangements, understanding personnel issues, understanding how organizations work, organizational structure. I think you need somebody on board that has an MBA that understands these type of operations and can help keep it running smooth and keep it solvent. Thanks.
Thank you. And Penny Russell.
Hello. Yes, my name is Penny Russell, and I first was acquainted with San Luis Obispo County when my father moved our family here sight unseen before my senior year in high school. And that was pretty much a traumatic event for me. And I graduated from Paso Robles High School at that point, having been raised in Eastern Washington. After that, I went on to earn a BS degree in mathematics from Portland State University and worked in a technical capacity with Boeing as the systems administrator and for the presidents and vice presidents in the administration for Boeing. I also was a part of the Washington State Software Development Board in the infancy of that group, and have personally had worked with Bill Gates on several projects when he was just a funny-looking kid. I guess he's still, well, no. For the past 20 years, my husband and I bought a house in Cambria as a second home in 2000. At the time, we lived in Boston, and we ran a company, which we still run, called H.C. Wainwright & Co. Economics, Inc., which has its origins back in 1860 in Boston. It's a what we call an investment research boutique, and we provide research investments to large institutional investors in the United States, Canada, Europe, and Hong Kong. My husband right now is on a plane flying to Geneva to meet with some of our clients. So we kind of have a very broad view of the world from our little home in Cambria. We became full-time here about 4 years ago. And the reason I have put in my application for the board is I worked in Waltport, Oregon, where we still own a house, a very small community, very different from Cambria, very much more low income sort of place. And I worked on the planning commission there, and that was such a positive experience for me. Working with the people there, we did not have ego issues. We did not have control issues. We had people on that commission who just wanted to get something done, just wanted to contribute, and that was such a positive experience that I would like to perhaps translate that into this kind of a situation. I do not have any issues with the board. I don't have any issues with the way things are being run, but partly maybe that's because I don't know really what's going on. But I would like to, and I think I can contribute a lot with both my managerial background running an international company and my technical background and my mathematics approach to life. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you all. So we will now begin with the more formal structured questions, and we'll keep the order we started with Jeff, so then you will be first next. And on, pardon? No, the gentleman next to Jeff. They're good. You guys are good, right? Okay.
I was partly agreeing with Jim, but okay.
Okay, so then we will go ahead now and start with Mr. Doran and the director that will be sharing the first question will be Director Rice.
Thank you. Thank you, President Robinette. Thank you for each of you who's applied, and I would like to echo something that Mr. Sanders said. Thank you for the service of Director Clift. He's served this board for a good long time, and so there are some shoes to fill there. In thinking about what success looks like for the district, and understanding that you can't make everybody happy because that's just an impossible feat, what factors are most important, in your opinion, to measure when evaluating whether the district is doing a good job?
If the citizens of this district believe that the board is doing a good job, if they're fully informed, if they have some participatory involvement in what's going on, and if they feel that their best interests are being served by the board, then I would say the board is doing a good job. If the environment is being preserved, if we're not put in peril, fire peril unnecessarily, if we don't go over the cliff financially unnecessarily, basically I would say that we're doing a good job.
Okay. Mr. Sanders?
Thank you. One of the pleasures of being a board member is having at least 50% of the community mad at you 50% of the time. I once had dinner with a gentleman who was on the very first CCSD board when it was created. And he said to me, he said, son, in Cambria it works like this. People line up on each side of Main Street. They all have rocks. Somebody will stand in the center of Main Street, they'll yell out an issue, and people on one side will throw rocks at the other side. And then another issue will be announced, and the people on the opposite side of the street who had been receiving the rocks will throw them back at the people on the other side. That is just the nature of the beast. And living in a small town that is in the midst of a very fragile ecosystem with a lot of infrastructure issues. So as a board member, you have to have your eyes wide open to that reality. I think the best measure of when the district is doing a good job is to assess whether or not the board has established coherent priorities, and then measuring whether or not the board is fulfilling whatever needs to be done in order to meet those priorities. And those priorities should be derived through a public process. Hearings, meetings with citizens in their homes, talking to people on the street, all means of gathering as much information as possible about a particular issue, establishing the priorities, and then following through.
Thank you. And Mr. Hellman.
This is a really easy question. What is the measure of success of the board? The board's mandate, clearly stated on its website, is to deliver reliable, healthy water. And the measure of success in this board is going to be when we know that we always have a reliable water source, no matter what the weather conditions, and that it's coming in at a reasonable price. And then nobody's going to think about water. It's not going to be on their minds. Right now, everybody's thinking about water. Are we going to run out? Are we going to get deluged? Did we need the plant? We don't need the plant. What is going on? Success is when nobody in town thinks about this issue. We have water that we can rely on. It doesn't smell. It tastes good. You can water your plants without worrying about them dying. There's just certain criteria here. And we have an effective fire department. We have double coverage right now. This is an issue to be confronted on. But when we feel comfortable that we have safety and security, and we're all coming in at a reasonable price, we're not overpaying for consultants and lawyers and what have you, that we have a smooth running operation, mean and lean, gets its job done, fulfills its mandate, and gives us what the board was formed to give us, reliable water and at a reasonable price. That to me would be the measure of success. Everything else is just supporting those goals.
Thank you. And excuse me, Ms. Russell?
Well, I'd like to make some comments about water. I was recently twice now I've been in Morro Bay, been to a restaurant and ordered water, and I could not drink it. We have good water here, and I'm very pleased with the quality of the water that we have here. Another comment, I know people here think the water is high. It is less than we pay on the Oregon coast for water. So I think that's a very fair comparison, given that they don't have any water issues up there. I pay less here than I would pay in Oregon. I think the board is successful, and I think the board, the biggest success for me would be that we don't have 50% of the people mad at the board at any one time, that we have 30% or some minority who are going to be mad no matter what, but we don't have a high percent and of people who are upset with the way things are, with their water allotment, with the financial situation, and who know about it and have the facts, because I hear so much stuff that just I know is not true. So I think communication is really vital, and I think having the community feel like they're a part of the planning process would mean success.
Thank you. And Mr. Walters?
Thank you. I think success is not necessarily, it may be an easy answer in some regards, but it's not necessarily an easy thing to deal with in application. The three things that you, well, actually four things that you need, especially in this town, I think that's really important for how we move forward, how we maintain our, shall we say, the magic of the town, because it really is a wonderful place, and a lot of people come here for that reason, and I really believe in that. But one of the things that really needs to work, obviously the number one issue is working water. There are a couple of different ways to address that. I'm sure we can get into that later, and you'll probably have a question about it. One of them, I think, is atmospheric water, which I think reduces our impact on the land use. And by land use, I'm also talking about ocean impacts and ocean outfall impacts, which would be eliminated by trying to harvest water from the air rather than from the sea, which has been a big issue here. The next issue is waste disposal. For the most part, we don't have too many problems with that. Third issue is fire control, which we do have huge problems with. And the other one that dovetails into that is forest management, but I mean sustainable forest management. And we have failed miserably on that issue. We have lost almost 80% of our forest. And if I don't, I imagine everybody notices the buzz saws around town, which seem to be constant. And that's not going to seem to be abated in the near future. I'd like to see it abated, and I'd like to see it reversed. I'd like to see the forest restored and replenished. And I think that also goes back to the water issue. And those are very important issues, especially considering the water issue also dovetails into issues of real property and how the town is managed. I think all of those things require that both sides of the people on both sides of the fence that throw rocks, as you mentioned earlier, get together and actually stop throwing rocks and try to start forming lines and ropes and tie this community together and actually work hand in hand with each other. And I'd like to be part of that. So that's one of the reasons why I'm here on this, trying to become part of this board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes then questions for that particular question. So we'll move on then to question two. And that would be Director Barringer.
Thank you. And we are trying to replace tough shoes to fill, as has been said before. Director Cliff had was very instrumental in moving us forward. My question, and it would then be for Mr. Sanders, would be, given the fact that the CCSD declared a Stage 3 water emergency on January 20th, 2014, after a fourth consecutive year of unprecedented drought, had you been a director then, what would you have advised?
If I was a director when the Stage 3 condition was declared?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yeah, on January 20th, 2014. Right.
I would have done exactly what your board did. I would have aggressively pursued the alternative water source. You had a great deal of investigation that had been done to determine what the alternatives were for a viable alternative water source. And so I think what you did was precisely what I would have done had I been on the board. Having said that, the task is not complete. The task now involves securing a permanent coastal development permit for the plant, and that is not an easy thing to do. The biggest hurdle the district faces is not just simply securing the permanent coastal development permit, but making sure that the conditions of approval that are applied to that permit are conditions that the district can live with. And that is going to take a lot of very intensive discussion with the Coastal Commission staff. It's going to take discussion with individual coastal commissioners so that they understand what Cambria needs, what Cambria can live with, and hopefully that will result in a set of conditions that are something that the district can work with, can live with, and that can enable the district to serve its customers with the water that is necessary.
Thank you. And Mr. Hellman?
It's very obvious that there's a drought out there. I don't think anybody, you know, Stage 3 was appropriate. It should be. I mean, you're running out of water. You have a water emergency. The state has a water emergency. The whole Southwest of the United States has a water emergency. So that decision was, I think, almost like a no-brainer. You're in those conditions. You call a spade a spade. Going forth, I agree with Mr. Sanders. We need to make sure that we secure the permits we need to be able to use a plant as we see fit. And I think it's a good augmentation of, you know, it'll prevent us from running out of water. Number one issue is not running out of water. Consequently, Stage 3 emergency, that's what it was, that's what it is. Board voted on it and went with it. So I'm perfectly fine with that. I think it was, again, the right thing to do.
Thank you. And Ms. Russell?
Yes, I had not been following what the board or anybody else was doing about the weather situation. Again, coming from Oregon, weather and water wasn't particularly on my mind. When it was put into place, we cut our usage. And as everyone knows, of course, Cambria became the poster child for cutting water usage within the state. And so I believe the entire community got behind it. And I do appreciate the notice that was given. I appreciate the explanations that were given. And I would only probably have done, perhaps urged a little more communication about the alternatives for beefing up the water supply, and perhaps even going forward having a little more discussion and a little more publicity and interaction with the community about what those alternatives are.
Thank you. And Mr. Walters?
Thank you. Basically, if I were the director, what would I have done? In a lot of respects, I was kind of here and obviously talking to you guys quite a bit about it during that time. I agreed with a lot of your approach. I agreed with the fact that you considered it an emergency and you took action about it. I was very obviously really supportive of all of you in that, and I really appreciated a lot of what your efforts were and
and also appreciated the trials and tribulations you went through with the community and trying to implement them. That meant a lot to me, and I'm very happy you all very much considered, and I know you all very much deliberated amongst yourselves and with the community over the issue, and I got to watch all of that. My own personal thing is I would have continued, and certainly had I been on the board, I would have continued to agitate for what I was agitating for in the first place, which was basically a wider technological approach to the issue. I think there could be more solutions that would be available that haven't necessarily been aggressively gone after, and I would have been much more aggressive with that. I think that also might have eliminated some of your woes with the community as well if there had been more of a technological fix that people were more in line with that provided less environmental impact. I think those things can happen. I think they can still happen, and that's another reason why I'm still here and still interested in becoming part of the board, and I'd like to really be interested in working with you more closely on that, and I think that would afford me that opportunity. I'm looking forward to that. I hope that happens. Like I said, a wider technological approach. Beyond that, I also feel like a larger approach towards grant funding money. I know that you have done a lot with that. I know that City Manager Jerry Gruber has done a lot with that. But I think that could also be assisted and augmented. I'd like to see more with that going on with that. And I'd like to see Cambria being used as a model. Not only as a model community within our county, but within our state and within our nation, as a real model community to show how water woes, water issues can be addressed, because our issues are so critical, and they're so, shall we say, visible and can be visible for the rest of the country if we do actually approach it from that angle. And I think that also is another way of generating grant funds for us, as well as by acting as a model and saying, hey, look, we have a model here. We don't necessarily have the funds for all of it, but we can be a great model for other communities as well. And that's one of the ways we can really move forward on a lot of these issues, not only for the water issue, for the community itself, but also for the forest, which is the other point that I'm trying to make, especially considering how critical the forest is and how, in many respects, we are failing the forest by not watering it itself. And the forest, I think, needs to be looked at not just as a wilderness, but at this point, because of the drought and because of the extreme conditions of climate change, it has to be looked at as a garden. And I think that's very important. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Doran?
It's difficult to reply to hypotheticals. I don't have all the information. I can't say what I would have done. I certainly would have looked at every possible alternative to what we did. First, let it run its course for a while, examined it, and decided whether that was the proper course of action before we embarked on what we were doing with this emergency water supply. And I just want to read a short paragraph. It'll take a second. The issue of growth for Cambria is a hot button for many who've moved here since the 1980s. The trouble seems to be, once there's enough water for everyone, keeping Cambria a small village will be next to impossible. It is difficult to justify an expensive desalination plant when the gap between available water and the water demand is 50 to 60 acre feet, less than Cambria currently uses in 1 month. It is also difficult to justify limiting the number of households the CCSD will serve if a desalination plant is humming away, making drinking water enough for a town almost twice as big. The hot button here is the elephant in the room. It's growth and it's development. And for some reason, we don't want to talk about this. It comes up at meetings, and it's poo-pooed, and it's pushed out of the way. These aren't my words. The paragraph I just read came from one of you, one of the directors, whom I think recognizes who's the author. This is the issue here. The issue is, where are we going to be in the future? It's not water. It's the future of this town, its environment, and what's happening here. So I don't know if I would have voted for this. That's my honest answer.
Thank you. And we'll take the baton again. Thank you. Okay, and our next question comes from Director Thompson.
Okay, thank you, and thank you all for being here and going through this process with us. Appreciate it. My question relates to the three goals that the board approved at the beginning of this year, three goals for 2015. And the first one might be a little bit redundant, but again, that's one of the three goals, and I'll read them to you. It was part of the application packet that you got. The first one is obtain a regular coastal development permit for the brackish water treatment facility. The second goal is to assess, prioritize, and determine actual costs and potential funding sources for the first phase of the wastewater treatment plant infrastructure improvements. And the third goal is to determine funding sources for the first phase to implement and complete needed projects related to access to the community park, including grading and swells. And so if you could just respond however you see fit on those three goals, whether you support them, don't support them, just what you know, whatever your position might be.
If indeed, it just seems like the advanced water treatment plant is a good environmental choice. Perhaps reservoirs, maybe reservoirs weren't really feasible here, but you needed to do something. I agree with, you know, using that method. It's not desalination. It's recycling water. And I think every environmentalist in the world thinks that recycling water is something that we need to do. And here we're doing it and implementing it. But now we get into the finance. I'm extremely concerned that the board signed a contract with a bank that made it where any future loans have to be approved by the bank, and the bank has a huge sway over the future of this town. If we go insolvent, they can repossess assets. We've got some major things going on here that put us in a very precarious position. I know that there was a rush to get water. I kept hearing the terms, we're going to turn on the faucet, we're going to get sand. We don't have sand right now. We're in the end of the fourth year of the drought, and we don't get sand. We're told that the well levels are normal. But we've got this finance problem. And what I see us doing, if this is possible, I've kind of done the math. There's a prepayment penalty in the loan that we have to these banks. If we can get online, if we can show a product, if we can show that we've got a smooth running water plant, that we, you know, have revenue coming in, that we've got our financial house in order, I propose doing a bond issue to pay off the existing bank loan. I think it'll give us more flexibility. It'll be better to our terms, and we'll have potential to get future loans if we need it for things like infrastructure. Right now, the only way you can finance your infrastructure is going to be to raise rates, and raise them really a lot. That's not quite fair. If we had a 30-year amortized bond issue that paid for revamping all this stuff, pay off the existing loan with the bank, and then have ourselves committed to a bond rather than a private loan, I think we'd get this monkey off our back that has too much control over our fate. I would like to get in there, dig in, do the books, talk to people, get into the finance, and make sure that we can refinance, have a cushion, have a good reserve. We need to have at least, you know, 6 months to a year worth of reserves in the general fund. We don't need to keep moving funds around because we're short. We don't have to be talking about cutting corners of $5,000 here and $10,000 here. And right now, we got to do it and do it fast before interest rates go up. We know that the Federal Reserve Board is keeping interest rates low right now. And to be able to take advantage of that and put our financial house in order, get the equipment we need, the infrastructure, and getting everything up to par, that's got to be the goal of the board. There's no alternative here.
And Ms. Russell?
Yes, I obviously am not as into the particulars of what's been going on here as some of my companions here at this table. I don't have any issues with any of those goals. As a matter of fact, they seem quite mundane to me. Just get the job done, get things done that need to be done. As far as financing goes, I would question some of the assumptions that were just made. I don't know how a bond issue is any better for the citizens than raising the rates a bit. And obviously, people who would be involved with the bond issue are people who don't even live here, who only own property here. Obviously, those are things that would have to be taken into account. I am not nearly as afraid of debt or bank loans as he seems to be. But I think my experience running our company and being in the financial markets has given me some insights into how things can be done without some of the bugaboos that perhaps we've outlived in a different age of financing and a different age of technological advances, and I think some of those probably need to be discussed.
Thank you. And Mr. Walters?
Part of it was I didn't the full scope of the question, other than the fact that it sounds like a lot of it has to do with how do we finance our current water issue, and how do we basically deal with issues like grading, et cetera, as you mentioned earlier at the end of your statement.
Actually,
the question had to do with the three goals, and there were three separate goals. One is, again, the obtaining of the regular coastal permit. Secondly, has to do with the wastewater treatment plant infrastructure and determining what's needed there in the financing. Mm-hmm. And the third one has to do with the community park that is part of the East Ranch and the moving forward with the improvements of that facility.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. As for the permit, I think the permit is a matter of. Could I be helped with the time a little bit on that? Because I had that interrupted.
I'm sorry. What?
Could I be helped with the time a little bit? That because I got interrupted.
Yes, because you did ask.
Thank you.
By the way, anyone, please feel free to have us repeat our questions.
Thank you so much. I
you've
really
been doing
appreciate
great
that.
This afternoon. Yeah. But any time that you'd like to just let's really get it fine-tuned and focused in for you, we will do that. So yes, we would take the time back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. The cost per the permit and all that, and the permit issue and trying to get the permit dealt with, I think also has a lot to do with grant writing proposals and how they come across, and expediting permits, I think, also starts with how you ask for funding. So again, my issue in that regard, as I mentioned earlier, is I'm not real interested in going to the community itself and asking for money because, one, the community doesn't like that. Two, I think we have a unique area here that, like I said, is literally the jewel of the Central Coast. And in that regard, it's not just a jewel here of the Central Coast in California. It's a national jewel. It's somewhere that's really special. And people actually get to live here. It's kind of like a national park, but people actually get to live in it. And I think it can be looked at that way. And in that regard, it needs to be saved. And it does need to be saved. There's a lot that needs saving around here. And I think we can do that by proper grant writing proposals, and doing that properly at the outset allows permitting processes to go much more smoothly. It kind of greases the skids. As far as water treatment, I think we should beef up that situation and the water treatment idea of how to actually augment our water supply through proper water treatment, which my counterpart Jeff over here has advocated as well. I agree with him on that. I don't agree with him on everything, but I do agree with him on that. I think those are things that do need to be done and can be augmented and can be augmented more so, like I said, with more technological consideration and newer technologies that are coming online and should be approached and thought of and embraced. I think those can move things along much faster. As far as also the handling of the park, as you pointed out in your last question, in the three-part question, I think that, again, that it goes along with proper grant writing. All of those things make permitting and handling of those issues move along much more quickly and more easily when you deal with your financial bona fides to begin with. And they move things along much better that way. So my end, again, is not necessarily to go through even bond issues or raising rates, but to try and figure out how to propose grant writing proposals that don't impact the community financially and basically make things better for everybody as an overall whole. And we certainly have resources nationally, I think, that can be dealt with in that regard. And we certainly have a proposal or a need for that the national shall we say, grant process would facilitate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Doran.
I'm sure Mr. Barringer would agree with me that if you're on a ship heading for the rocks, it's a good idea to move the tiller a little. As far as the answer to the first part of the question, I'm with you on everything except this water treatment issue. I don't know where to go with that. We're at the precipice of a financial cliff here. This is going to make it worse. We have a lawsuit. We can't get funding, or we can't get a grant while that lawsuit is still being pursued. We need to solve that problem. We have a real emergency here, as far as I can see, with the fire. We need to solve that problem with our fire department. our medical emergencies. A lot of seniors in this district, I'm one of them. I'm very concerned about medical services. We've had an exemplary fire department, local one, with EMTs, and I'd like to see that continue. So there are a lot of issues before this board right now, and this coastal development issue with the brackish water treatment plant, which I've heard is an emergency water treatment plant and now an advanced water treatment plant. It's all over the map. I can't figure it out. So I don't know where I would go with that. I can't answer the question for you, except I am with you on everything else here.
Thank you. And Mr. Sanders?
thank you, Madam President. I am in agreement with the goals that were announced by Director Thompson. I would add one item to those goals, however, and I'll get to that in a minute. Without a doubt, obtaining a permanent coastal development permit for the alternative water source treatment plant is has got to be the number one priority of the district. The heavy financial investment that the district has in that plant, coupled with the continuing lingering drought, makes that unquestionably the number one priority. With regard to the community park, I think we have to keep in mind that if the district doesn't advance the ball on developing a park on the east portion of the Fiscalini Ranch, we're going to owe the county $500,000. $500,000 given by the county to the district to help the district acquire the Fiscalini Ranch came with a condition, and that condition is that the county develop a park on a portion of the Fiscalini Ranch. So that has to be a priority as well. Let me say that I think the issue of the district's finances has been way overblown. The district has a cash flow problem. I don't think we're on the precipice of a huge financial crisis here. And as soon as the conditions to the grant for the alternative water source project are cleared, then I think the district will be back with an adequate amount of reserves and able to go ahead with business as usual. The one item that I would add to the goals for 2015 would revolve around the issue of fire in this town. In my opinion now, and my opinion when I first ran for the board, the fire threat to this town is the greatest threat that the town is looking at. We have to have a stable fire department. We have to have an adequate amount of water storage on hand so that our firefighters have the tools necessary to fight fires. We also need, to the maximum degree possible, a very viable plan for evacuating people from areas like Lodge Hill, where there's a potential for a disaster similar to the one that occurred in the Oakland Hills back in the 1990s. So other than adding the fire threat to the goals and doing something about the fire threat, I concur with the goals that Director Thompson announced.
Thank you. And back around to Ms. Russell. Okay, and this is my question. It's very much following and looking at the priorities that we did list, our current 2015 goals and priorities. And this time I would like to have you reflect a bit on beyond those, or could include those, it's really what you think, but I would like for you to share with us or list for us your highest priorities at this time for the district. I would like for you to give a brief description of the steps that would need to be taken to actually make it real. I would like for you to maybe consider where would we come up with the funding, and then what would be a reasonable expectation timeline-wise to complete your priorities. So it's really you can list one or two goals in addition to what we've talked about, or go back on one of those. But then my interest is in really talking about more concretely a little bit, just an overview. What would that entail? What are the steps we'd have to take? Where would we get the money then to do it in the first place? And how long would we think we'd be looking at to accomplish it? Have fun.
Thanks. Well, my number one priority in this town, and I'm going to agree with some of the other people here, is fire. I think that to me is the most troublesome issue thinking about it. I do live on Lodge Hill. I do live in the forest. And I think that really needs to be addressed. And obviously it's not one of your goals because it's only come up since during this year when the real push has come. My second priority is a viable water supply that we don't have to be worried all the time that the wells are going dry and having this constant sort of thing hanging over our head. And somebody mentioned something that I think is a step towards the water issue. I'm going to address the last first. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm going to go in that order. Is talking about development and what that means to the city. I do not believe personally that realistically we can say that this we have X number of residents and that's what we have and we're just going to keep it that way. That's just not a realistic way to look at the future. It just can't happen. And so that to me is part of the water issue. Those two go hand in hand. How do we have enough water for citizens currently who don't have to? And I have to tell you, I do want to make one comment. We never use our allotment of 8 units, and we've come to live in a way that is completely sustainable. I don't have to go back to doing anything else except I would like to water my flowers. However, and I think those two things go hand in hand is the idea about development, future development, and water supply and how that can be addressed. Now, we go back to the fire issue. One of the things, obviously, that needs to be done is to get the dead trees out and to get the forest healthy again. That's to me the bigger issue than that's kind of like the horse is out of the barn when the fire starts. We need to figure out how to have a fire not start, and those would be my two greatest priorities, and I would look to those two issues being hand in hand on both of the issues.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Walters?
Yes. My consideration is also to keep, there's been a push by the local fire department to keep Cambria local. I'm definitely in support of that. They know the issues here local in town in the community. I don't think that outsourcing it to CAL FIRE would necessarily give us any further resources or augment our resources necessarily. And certainly not parsing out the management or outsourcing the management of our local fire considerations is a good idea to take outside the community as far as its management considerations. I think the local fire department has been very facile, apt, and able to handle the issues that we have here. And certainly they are already connected with CAL FIRE, and I remember that they did a huge number of efforts at cross-agency work over the last summer. And I very much applaud them for doing all of those efforts, and they were of great importance, and they definitely informed the community, and anybody who didn't get informed in the community was probably had their head in the sand. They were very active, and I want to support them in all of that. As far as water funding, I addressed some of those issues earlier. I think grant funding is really the way to go with a lot of things. It doesn't mean that I dismiss the idea of water rate increases, because sometimes they're absolutely necessary. I understand that. And certainly, as you had mentioned earlier, that local rates in other areas are much higher than here. I think we've done a good job of generally keeping rates down. I'd like to continue to do that, and grant funding is another way of doing that. But rates may need to rise a little bit, and they can still be done so and still be comparable with national averages, I think, and done so well. As far as development is concerned, I agree. Development does need to actually happen in this town. But I think it can happen within our footprint, and I think it can happen within and can be controlled by current laws that we have and through proper enforcement. I think the real point is that what happens is a lot of the times developers come in and they ignore the laws, or they get paid off for something or whatever, and they simply ignore things that are in place that would otherwise keep our community growing small, growing appropriately and growing with a sense of economic feasibility, which I think we do need. This town has had a lot of economic damage, certainly from the downturn in the economy, but also from the fact that we over-regulate our community, I think, in some regards through the water issue, unfortunately, as a wedge issue, which I think is inappropriate for both our community and the forest itself. I think it actually damages the forest by trying to keep a water issue as a wedge issue, and we don't get water to the forest as well. So our economy is tied into water issues with the forest. I think we need to work with local real estate and develop a local forest plan that includes real estate and how they can augment ways of improving the economy in the town and the forest we live in. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Doran.
My major concern is the preservation of the quality of life here in Cambria, because it is an exceptionally special place. You can't find it in most of the places in the entire world, let alone in the United States. My own economic health is important. I'm on a fixed income. I don't get much money from the government in the way of a pension. So I don't want any surprises. I don't want any big jumps in any of my rates, my taxes. I'm concerned about living in Lodge Hill, not having an evacuation route. I realize the fire danger right now is extremely high, if not critically high. We have a lot of issues. I'm going to take Director Rice at her word by quoting her again. It's impossible to contain development once you have enough water here, so be very careful about saying things like that. It's an issue that plagues most of this country and most of the world. Development is very difficult to contain. So you have to know what you're doing before you open up the gate. Those are my issues. I think they concern most of the residents of this community, and I think we're in accord with that.
Thank you. And Mr. Sanders.
Thank you, Madam President. Again, at the risk of sounding like I'm beating this horse to death, securing the coastal development permit would be my number one priority. And what I think we need to understand is that the growth issue is going to be inextricably intertwined with obtaining the permanent coastal development permit for the water plant. Growth right now is capped at 4,650 units, and the expectation of the Coastal Commission is that it's going to stay that way. The Coastal Commission, I am sure, is going to condition the permit that we receive on a maximum number of residential units that we are permitted to serve. The question is, how high is that number going to be? Beyond 4,650 units, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the infrastructure in this town, not just the water infrastructure, but all of the infrastructure, cannot sustain a population that is greater than a population that comes with 4,650 units. We have streets that are way too narrow, so that when cars park even on one side of the street, emergency equipment cannot get through if there's a fire or a medical emergency at the opposite end of the street. The electrical distribution system around here is the eighth wonder of the world. It's a wonder that it works at all. So we have infrastructure constraints that we have to be cognizant of, and we need to take those infrastructure constraints into account when we talk about growth. And believe me, it's directly tied to the permanent coastal development permit for the water plant. Second priority for me is fire. We have got to constantly be vigilant and thinking about ways to improve the capability of our fire department in terms of fighting structure fires here in town. If there's anything that can destroy this town, it's fire. And so we need to make that, in my view, a constant, very, very high priority. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Okay. Yes, I'll be happy to repeat it, Mr. Hellman. The question is, as a follow-up, actually, from talking about the current board's goals for 2015, my question is, your own personal priorities. If you were working right now, what priorities would you like to see? It could be a repeat of some of the goals the board does have right now already. It's not to be different if you don't want to. But what would your highest priority goals be that need to be accomplished for Cambria at this time? And then I'm interested in how we're going to get there, because that's the challenge, of course. Once we have goals, that's the easy part. How we get there is the hard part. So I was asking you to talk, number one, about the steps, just a brief, what steps will we have to take to actually support that goal? The second thing would be, where might we find the money? What would be maybe some funding possibilities? And third would be, so just a projection, how long are we looking at before we could actually have that goal actually completed?
It seems to me the goals have been well defined. Everybody's pretty much in accordance here. We've mentioned the issues. It's just, this is more like a recap right now. The mandate of the board is to deliver, you know, reliable, healthy water, hopefully at a reasonable price. It's to carry away the sewage, and it's to deal with fire in parks. That hasn't changed. My own personal goals are not my personal goals. It's actually the goals of the board itself and its original mandate. So I support those, and I'm behind it. I definitely support the idea that we have to have an emergency water supply. We've made issue of fire, and I got to admit, the company I had in Los Angeles, it installed a lot of fire alarm systems, worked with a lot of fire chiefs. I think we have to be extremely cognizant of the fire danger. But the fire danger is still part of the issue about having water. You can't fight fire without water. Mr. Sanders mentioned we need storage. Yes, we do need storage. The best way to fight a fire would be to have some kind of a little reservoir or towers or whatever. We need enough fire, enough water that we can fight fires. Desalination or advanced water treatment doesn't give you a stream of water adequate for fighting a fire. It gives you a stream of water to service the houses and maybe fill up some reservoirs. So if we do have a fire, we can get in there and do it. This goal doesn't change. You need financing. Okay, financing is going to have to be a combination of, you know, maybe hopefully in the long run when we get a plant going and we have something that we can, you know, have tangible, we can get a bond issue that could, you know, help pay off. It's like consolidating your debts like homeowners do, okay? They get like a private equity loan to pay off all their credit cards and blah, 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 blah. We should do that with a bond issue to get us, you know, in the flow here. But it's the same issue. Yeah, I want water. Do I want development? I'd like to see it contained so that we remain the quaintness of this town. We don't want to set ourselves up and we lose a certain quaintness. We don't want to end up here looking like Laguna Beach. Conversely, it's kind of unrealistic to say there should be no growth at all. This county has a 1% growth rate, and according to some of the sources, once the lot owners on the wait list get built out, then there's not going to be future growth. We got to maintain a balance between economy and environmental integrity. That's a heck of a project. That's like the 50% of the people on one side of the street wanting, we want to cash in, we want to cash in. The other people say, hey, we're here now, we don't want this place to, you know, change one iota. We've got to strike a balance and go down that middle of that road where these people seem to be highly polarized on either side. I'd like to see that doused. So again, I'm just going to go along with the goals of the mandate of the board itself. Provide reliable, you know, healthy water, try to keep the prices reasonable, protect against fire, have a reservoir or some kind of storage that can mitigate the fire hazards here. That's it, folks.
Perfect timing. Well, first of all, let me say on behalf of the board, we thank you for your very thoughtful responses, for your insights. I think this is, for us, always an opportunity to hear your thinking, and we have certainly many, many things in common. This whole room does. That concludes our formal part of our interview with questions. If we have any board members that wanted a clarification on a particular question that's already been asked, then certainly we could do that. Director Thompson? Right. Okay. Okay. Fine. Fine. Okay. Well, that's the first part of what we're doing. Now we're going to move to public comment, and we do have a request for public comment, and it'll be, let's see, I guess we'll go over here. I still want to call him Vice President Clift, and he has requested public comment, and of course you can have public comment, so we're happy to see you. Are you kind of glad you're sitting over there? No, it was just... It seems strange not to have you right here.
Merle Cliff, private resident.
Wow, private, never, never.
Of Cambria. I wanted to appear today because I wanted to make a couple of statements. One is that what you're doing today is simply to fill a position for a period of 1 year. No matter what decision you make today, the elected people of this community will either validate it or change it, and that's part of the thing. So what you're doing today is really taking a look at what you want to fit in with what you're doing during this next year. You have a good group of people. But I'd be remiss if I didn't call attention to what my goals were and to ask you to appoint someone who mirrors those goals. It was my intention for the next year to work very strongly on getting the permanent permit and to solving fire-related issues. I've had the pleasure in the past of working with Mr. Sanders, and quite honestly, what he did in the earlier years on the desalinization projects was the groundwork for what we were able to do on the emergency water treatment plant. Without that prior work and without that effort with the Army Corps of Engineers, that would not have been possible for us to move forward as fast as we did on the emergency water treatment plant. He's very familiar with that. He's familiar with government operations and the need to make contacts to go forward with that, and I think he's uniquely qualified in that area. I will also tell you that I had experience as a board member working with Mr. Sanders when about 4 years of 4 or 5 years ago there was it was before the current administration. There were problems with the fire department, and he was very diplomatic, very resourceful in solving those problems, and I think he does hold the respect of the fire department, and that's going to be necessary to work through in the future. So I wish you good luck, Ed Goodell. It is never fun to in public try to pick one person over another. I don't feel that that's a big deal, a big problem. But I think you have a uniquely qualified person here to fulfill this 1 year period of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And we have another request for public comment. Bill Canoe, your knee looks good.
Pardon me?
Well, I'm not noticing your legs just because of the shorts, but.
It's better. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for remembering. I've been doing my physical therapy and it's getting better. Board members, possible probable candidates, I want to applaud all of you for this action that you're taking. We know that by law it's supposed to be public, but I really appreciate all the effort that's gone into it, and I'd like to commend all of you for stepping up and trying to do what's best for this town, and the same goes for you. directors. I have to absolutely echo Merle Cliff's words that you have a uniquely qualified man sitting here who has years and years of experience on that board, and also, as Mr. Cliff said, with the other problems and issues of facing you with the Coastal Commission permit and so on and so forth. So I won't talk long. I just want to say thank you very much for this opportunity. I appreciate it. And I think that Greg Sanders is a man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we come to that part now where we do need to consider, and certainly there is a lot of possibility here. And so I'm waiting for a motion, and I see Director Barringer.
Yes, I thought this was going to be so easy. I was extremely impressed with each of the candidates, and I see a lot of unanimity among them, and people that are definitely wanting to help this community. We're not a city. We are a water department, and we need to provide clean and enough water to people. And we need to also help communicate. There was in some of the people's comments, they were confused about all of the studies that had been done and some of the things we do. But that said, we are replacing a director that had served two terms. He was elected, and we have an opportunity to have someone with experience with the Coastal Commission, the Army Corps of Engineers, twice elected, and I would nominate that we accept Greg Sanders as the replacement.
And Director Thompson?
Well, again, I want to thank everyone for participating in this process. It's kind of reminiscent of the League of Women Voters debate a year ago, and I know that I was at that table with several of you, and I appreciate you throwing your hat in the ring again. I too think we have a really good group of candidates. However, I've worked with Mr. Sanders ever since I came to town about close to 15 years ago, and I've seen him through his presidency of Rotary, and I'm not a Rotarian, but I certainly have seen his accomplishments in Rotary, and I've also been proud to serve with him in the American Legion, and I've seen him as commander of that group, and so I'm very pleased to second that nomination.
Thank you very much. It has been moved and seconded that we bring or elect Mr. Sanders to join us in the replacement for Merle Cliff. Let's have a roll call vote.
Can I have some discussion?
Oh, yes, discussion.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody who is here and applied for the position. I heard some very good ideas from each of you, including I really liked Mr. Walter's idea of being a model community. I really appreciate Penny talking about community buy-in and communication and the need for making sure that people are feeling part of the conversation and the reduction of the stone throwing. I appreciate Mr. Hellman's addressing the issue of financial accountability and making sure that what we're doing is not putting our district in danger financially in terms of those things. And I really appreciate the fact that we have somebody here who has served under the constitutional and has taken that oath seriously. And that's something that I think is an important measure. If it weren't already seconded, though, I would definitely be in support of Mr. Sanders. He is uniquely qualified to provide us some additional support in terms of trying to get this coastal development permit, the permanent one, and we do have a lot of work to do prior to getting everything in place for that, because we need to know the parameters that are going to be used, and I think he's an intelligent asset for this board and for the community. May not always agree with them, but that doesn't mean that I don't think that he's probably the best one for the position, because I do think that he is uniquely qualified. I want to thank everybody who has been put some thought to this, because I know you folks put a lot of thought to this, and I hope you consider in the fall maybe putting your hat in the ring for the election. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I can only echo what the board is saying. All of you have a sincere interest. You have, you know, that kind of energy and commitment that we appreciate. And there is always other times after we take this vote. But I would like to give actually our candidates before we take the vote, all of you and the audience, if you join me, I'd like to give them a round of applause. Okay, so ready for the roll call.
Director Berenger?
Aye.
Director Thompson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
President Robinette?
Aye. And we are going to actually welcome Mr. Sanders here today, and he will be sworn in. So he is going to be ready to go to work. And so Monique, are you going to conduct that part?
I, Gregory Sanders.
I, Gregory Sanders.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies.
And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
And that I will and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, Director Sanders. Would you like to say something? Here's your board packet. Very good.
Part of it.
I shall.
Yes, why don't you come up and join us and address everyone?
Old Chinese proverb. Be careful what you wish for.
You said it.
Thank you, board members, for your confidence in me. I'm very excited to join you, and let's get to work.
Well, I was just going to have a little sip of my chai. Okay, with there being no further business, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for the candidates, and it was so great to see you, Merle, and so have a great day. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.